This is Morning Edition on Vermont Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Mitch Wertlieb. Well, given how frigid the winter of 2018 has been thus far in New England, it may be hard to conjure up images of milder winters marked by more rain than snow. But a new report released by the USDA Forest Service says those kinds of winters are very much in our future due to climate change. And a number of very important species of trees vital to the region's health are going to be threatened as a result. Joining me now on the line for more on this new report is Tony D'Amato, a forest researcher for UVM's Rubenstein School, who was one of the lead authors of this recent study. Tony, thanks very much for speaking with us.
Oh, thanks for having me.
So what is the main conclusion from this new report?
So when we look at, you know, projected changes in climate, and also not just climate, but changes in the occurrence of invasive insects and diseases in our forests, there's many species that we think of as characteristic of our forest today that are going to be impacted in the future, and impacted both in terms of their health, and so are they able to grow to the sizes that they used to be able to grow to, and also impacted in terms of their occurrence. Will we still find certain species in the landscape that we currently associate with parts of our landscape in Vermont? And so one example might be, you know, balsam fir, a species that we tend to think of as very characteristic of our mountaintops. As temperatures increase, as we start losing snowpack, which is vital to protecting and insulating the roots of many of those high elevation trees during the winter, we're really concerned about how that might physiologically impact those species, and over time we might start seeing a decline in those species given they're unable to deal with that stress.
What can you tell me about how this study was conducted?
So the way this works is really part of a larger effort across the eastern U.S. that's part of what's known as a climate change response framework. And this is an effort that's being led by the U.S. Forest Service and specifically the Northern Institute of Applied Climate Science. And what they do is actually gather a group of stakeholders as well as a group of scientists to really evaluate different forests and look at them within the context of what the projected changes are in the future in terms of climate, as well as things like invasive insects and diseases, future windstorms, future fires. And so it's really a process that's not just a single person in a room saying, this is what I think is going to happen, but instead bringing together a group of various experts. And the reason it's important to have a diversity of experts is that there's a high level of uncertainty about what the future will bring, whether it's in forests or economics or anything else. And so you want to have a group of individuals that have expertise in how ecosystems have functioned in the landscape, but also have some perspective on how species may respond to what we're seeing currently in the landscape and changing climate regimes, as well as what is expected to happen in the future.
You mentioned the balsam fir is one of the trees that could really be affected negatively by this. What are some other tree species that may be familiar to Vermonters? I mean, we're talking about things like the maple even?
When we look at a given species like sugar maple, which of course is a very iconic species and important ecologically and economically to our state, there are places where certainly sugar maple will not do as well in the future. So south-facing slopes, areas with thinner soils that don't have the ability to hold a lot of moisture, or whereas on the flip side, you know, places that are nice cove, deep soiled, you know, forest settings, those areas, even though there might be broader climatic change at the local scale, sugar maple might just do just fine in those spots. And so the goal of these reports really is to come up with an assessment of kind of at a broad scale what we think some of the changes are, and then managers and planners and folks that are actually out on the ground can evaluate those based on kind of what the local site conditions are. And so sugar maple is one that, you know, is supposed to be moderately impacted by changing climate. We certainly will see some stress on that species. There's been a lot of work that has already demonstrated when we lose snowpack. And again, that snow is really an important insulator of the root systems during the winter. And so if we now are getting rain but still getting some freezing events, there's the ability to damage those root systems with those frost events, leading to kind of dieback in the crown. So it's a species that can certainly be sensitive to those changes, as well as a primary host for Asian longhorn beetle, which is an invasive insect that currently is in north-central Massachusetts and one that many are concerned about.
Yeah, I'm guessing that those invasive species you're talking about are going to thrive, according to the report, because there'll be warmer conditions generally for them to survive.
Exactly, and it both goes with many of the invasive plant species, but more importantly, many of the bark beetles that impact forest trees, you know, they basically are living underneath the bark and rely on that as a source of insulation. And so when we have really cold winter temperatures, it actually can kill the larvae of these bark beetles.
Now, the report also finds that while some tree species will be threatened over time with this climate change, there are habitat conditions that will improve actually for other tree species, black cherry, yellow poplar, things like that. Is that correct?
It is. And I think those species that you mentioned, things like yellow poplar and black cherry and oak, If they're currently in the landscape, they're really going to be experiencing climatic conditions in the future that are more conducive to their growth as well as their reproduction.
Is there any danger then, Tony, that someone might look at this report and say, hey, you know what, this is natural change. We may lose things like the balsam fir, but we may gain something in the yellow poplar. What's the big deal here?
Yeah, I think the biggest concern I have when folks interpret these is that we're really looking at the shift in kind of suitable growing conditions. And so oftentimes I would say that the best way to view a lot of these projections is, you know, we might have suitable growing conditions for, let's say, yellow poplar in southern Vermont in 100 years. The issue is that yellow poplar currently is, you know, hundreds of miles away from that location. And so really these are almost like a shift in the zone map. Those who do perennial gardening, similar to kind of a change in the zone that plants might grow in. And so, you know, these areas might become suitable for those species, but you know, they're currently not here, and their ability to migrate to these places is quite limited. You know, it takes hundreds of thousands of years for species to move across the landscape by natural means. And so the concern is that we're seeing this change happening at a rate that's unprecedented relative to historic changes in climate.
You know, this winter has been so cold, and people have been talking about that. That's been the news. We've gotten a lot of snow. Does that frustrate you in some ways where people are going to look at this and say, oh, no, it's just so cold. What are you talking about, milder winters? Are they going to, and excuse me for this, miss the forest for the trees?
No, and I think one of the biggest challenges, and this has been talked about quite a bit in both in the scientific literature and the popular press, is that, you know, we labeled this global warming, and you know, really the more appropriate term should have been global weirding. You know, it's not that we're going to consistently have warm temperatures, but, you know, this winter, for example, we went from a week where it felt like I could be wearing short sleeves outside in January to, a week later, some of the coldest temperatures that we've experienced in a couple of years. And so it's more of this bouncing up and down. Same with precipitation. You know, we're going to be actually getting more, you know, rain in this part of the country based on future projections, but it's going to be in these large events, you know, 2-3 inch events, as opposed to more evenly distributed rain. And so, you know, it's really that we're going to have these strange weather patterns that for many of our trees and certainly, you know, those that sugar know already, you know, when you're having sap runs in January and so forth, that the trees respond to those cues. And so, you know, when you start having more of that weird weather pattern and this bouncing up and down, it can create some serious challenges from a health perspective for those species.
I really like that term, global weirding. I'm hoping that starts to trend. I think it'll catch a lot of people's attention. I really do. Tony D'Amato is a forest researcher for UVM's Rubenstein School. Thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us.
Thanks again for the opportunity.